that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Hey, good morning. That wheel's rolled around again. It's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup, won't you? Get your Bible out and join us for coffee. We'll be right back.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong. And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And good morning and welcome to the Radio Ranch. This, beautiful day. Beautiful morning, cause we got rain today. And this time of the year, that's a beautiful sight. But we welcome you this May 19th, 2012, to another version, another edition of Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it is a beautiful rainy day this morning, and we'll say good morning down there in Colorado, and this is a welcome rain down there. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And I'm Richard, and we're going to ask Kyle to open up in prayer if he would.
Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, humbly, Lord, and thankful. Thankful for this day. Thankful for this opportunity. Thankful, Father in heaven, that your Son died on the cross to save souls like ours. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us today, watch over us. Guide our thoughts, guide our words, watch our tongues. Let every word come out of our mouth be of your Spirit, Lord, not of ours. And we just ask you to be with all the saints out there, Lord. Be with them, watch over them, guide and protect them and their families. For the ways of the world are growing up around them. Let not those tares choke out the wheat. And we just ask you, Lord, to let us have good fellowship this morning. Let the direction we go be your direction. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, guys. We'll start with how are things going in Colorado? Better than yesterday, it seems.
Yep, we've sure been blessed with the
appear to be a pretty good rain. I think God decided it's time to put that fire out. So, thank you, Lord. I imagine there's
that was something, people. Man. That they had a there was so much thunder and lightning this morning, starting about 4 o'clock. It was just like a constant roar across the front range here. It was a pretty neat deal.
I mean, I'm from back east, so I'm used to them thunderstorms, but we don't have those out here too often. That was a pretty wicked one. We don't really know, though, Richard. You know, there's no update yet as to the fire, so who knows? The lightning may have started more.
Well, if it's anything like down here, I would call the fire danger for the Laramie Valley zero today.
Oh, good.
So if it's anything like down here, it's really made an impact.
I mean, up there?
Yeah.
You're higher than us.
Yeah. Yeah, down there, up here, whatever. It has. This is the kind that when you're on a fire and you get this kind of rain in, it's a day you stay in camp and sharpen your tools and
drink some coffee.
Drink some coffee, and that's what we're doing here.
You got a good news on coffee drinking, didn't you?
I did. Reports out last week. Of course, you know, last year they were saying coffee's bad for you. You drink coffee, it's bad for you. This year, they're saying coffee drinkers live longer. So we're going to go with that.
We'll go with that one.
Because that's a good news report.
Well, so, maybe the more coffee you drink, the less pork you consume.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe.
That's funny.
So, but, yep. And, you know, another bit of good news that the Lord does hear prayers, that same-sex union down in Colorado came back up on their special session on Monday.
Yeah.
And
went down again.
They basically put it to committee and voted it down again. And, oh, the uproar, the roaring, the screaming that went on down there. Just wait till November. Wait till November. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, is the quote they kept putting out. And, that they would read the Bible and put that kind of faith in that. Because 2 Peter 3:7 is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And, if they would, you know, they just have their faith in the wrong place. They do. So that was defeated as well. So I think we can sure say thank you, Lord Jesus, for that, for answering those prayers, for turning that down today, or in this day.
Amen. Yeah, I was trying to find some articles to talk about, and boy, the Lord always provides. I was looking here. There's a new agenda or new promotion for America that John Connor, I guess he works for the White House or for Obama or something, but they spent $12.3 million on this advertising campaign that's going to go out to other countries to try to entice people to come to the U.S. And basically it shows Hinduism, shows like a gangbanger, some homie, shows a couple guys on a motorcycle, but it's not like you're going to come here and join a motorcycle gang. Then it has a couple of regheads in New York shopping, and some guy parachuting, catching a hawk in his hand, so that happens every day. And swamp people. But, you know, what's really interesting is that they'll show, there's a lot of pictures of, like, down in New Orleans with their voodoo festivals and their colored dust and, you know, and then they've got pictures of the kids here. It says, bring your kids, you know, this is,
right.
This is a, they're making fun of it. But then they show music and it's not, I don't know what the heck kind of instrument it is, but it looks like a globe that's turned into a harp or something with an African playing it. And then, you know, this is all the values that the U.S. represents, come see us, you know, and then they got some guy sitting on the beach doing yoga, you know, and it's just pathetic. And, of course, got to have the gay influence, two homos sitting on a bus with his arm around him and his head, the other guy's head on his shoulder, and it's just sad.
You know, many people would say, well, you know, America's made up of immigrants. You know, America was formed by immigrants. I got a little thing here I've had for a few weeks, and I haven't. Let me read a couple excerpts out of it, and it's basically immigrants, and it says maybe we should turn to our history books and point out to people why today's American is not willing to accept this new kind of immigrant any longer. And I take point with this because today's American's willing to accept anything. And it's just going to have to be like it was in the Bible when they come and say, well, tell you what, guys, we're going to pluck out your eye so you can't see down the barrel to shoot us. We're going to cut off your trigger finger so you can't shoot us. And then we'll let you live in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Good luck
with
that.
Because that's what it was in the days of the Bible. And it had to get down to that point before the people then said enough is enough.
Yeah.
And but it goes on and says, back in 1900, when there was a rush from all areas of Europe to come to the United States, people had to get off a ship and stand in a long line in New York and be documented. Some would even get down on their hands and knees and kiss the ground.
Yep.
They made a pledge to uphold the laws and support this new country, their new country, in good times and bad times. They made learning English a primary rule in the new American households, and some even changed their names to blend in with their new home. They had waved goodbye to their birthplace to give their children a new life and did everything in their power to help their children assimilate into one American culture. Nothing was handed to them. No free lunches, no welfare, no labor laws to protect them. All they had were the skills and craftsmanship they had brought with them to trade for a future of prosperity. And now these people came from France, all over Europe, and when war broke out in Europe, you didn't have all these French Americans and German Americans and British Americans and all this going on. You had Americans that were fighting in World War II. Anyway, that's a different kind of immigrant than you have today. You know, the one that we have today, they want it. They play by a different set of rules. And apparently the current administration agrees with that, because that's certainly what sounds like went out on that in that advertising campaign.
Yeah.
You know, today they want what's called the entitlement card. And they want to bring their culture here. They don't want to come and assimilate into ours. They want to bring that voodoo Zulu culture from Africa, and they want to bring Mexico up into Colorado and everywhere else they go. And, you know,
like you said, we're already the minority birth rate.
We are. We are, as of now.
Guess we'll have to get busier.
And so, yeah, the what we had up into the 1900s that this article talks about, the immigration that we had was truly that. It was an immigration. It was, and even before that, back to the 1600s, it was one of the largest mass migrations in the history of the world. It was God regathering the dispersion to the shores of America, to a land that he had kept, to a land rich in natural resources, whether it's water, oil, gold, food, coal, a land that he kept that was just inhabited by just a handful of what we now, what's the politically correct term? Is it Native Americans? Can't call them red Indians anymore, can you?
No, that's outlawed.
Outlawed, so maybe Native Americans. I'm a Native American. I was born here. You know?
Yeah.
And so from the 1500, and even before, when the Vikings came over and settled the lands or came over in places too, but those were immigrants. They came over to nobody wants to read the Mayflower Compact when they say that, you know, they came to this country to further Christianity, to further the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what this nation was founded on. And those people were immigrants. Now, today we don't have immigrants anymore. We have an invasion. You know, an immigrant comes over and learns the language and obeys the laws and furthers the nation. An invasion is when they come in
and change everything
to their way. And that's what we have. This, so when you see this, what this abomination is doing, I think, John, is saying, come and invade us. Come bring your Zulu culture. Come bring your homosexual agenda. We embrace it all. We embrace it all. And
your brochures usually have the type of people you want to come. I mean, if you're in sunny Florida or San Diego or somewhere and you have a brochure for your hotel on the beach, your brochure shows certain things that you want to come there. And
that are appealing.
That entice those type of people. So that kind of, that brochure that John read is showing you exactly what they want. You know.
Yeah. You know, it probably wasn't 5 years ago, and that brochure was a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know, showing probably patriots and military and beautiful landscape and, I don't know.
Yeah, even if it was hypocrisy, even if it was an illusion, it wasn't blatant what it is now. I mean, who in their right mind would want that type of a, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just it. They're not in their right mind. So.
Right. I read something the other day that after Katrina, you know, they dumped $163 billion or something down into the Louisiana area there. I don't know what that parish was called, but down around... help me out here, guys.
Where the dikes broke. I don't remember what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, but what's it? New Orleans, you know, down in there. And they're saying that violent crime is up 75% since they recovered from Katrina. It's like, how is that even possible? Dump that kind of money into something like that, and then it just... But well, it's the people that are there.
Well, John, it's like that $12 million advertising campaign.
Yeah.
You know, $10 million goes in their pocket, and the $2 million makes the advertising campaign. And so you figure for the, you know, $400 billion they dump down there, you know, $1 million goes down there to make a museum showing how great the African culture be. It be great cultured. And then the rest of the money, you know, who knows? And it's evident that, but, you know, the people just put up with it. It's just, that's just the way it is. You know, when that hit and you'd see the black female police officers pushing a buggy around Walmart stealing stuff. Get that camera out of the way here. Don't be showing me stealing these shoes.
That's right.
You can see if I can say this politically correct. I'll apply it to me. I come from down south. Down from Central Florida, back when it was country in Hicksville, and John, you know, we John showed us a show the other day about that. What was that, Duck Dynasty?
Yeah.
And on one of those new shows, and I'm laughing. It was like a family reunion for me, and it was like I was visiting family. That's where I come from, and you know, there's a saying: you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Well,
right.
You can take the savage out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the savage. Is that politically correct enough to get by, I think, with the FCC?
Should work.
Yeah. Don't want to offend, because there's some people that when you use the N-word, like they do, they get offended. So, anyway. But you and John, you also mentioned about the whites are the minority in the birth rate. They absolutely are. You know, we just did the census not too long ago. 50.6% of the new birth rate are blacks, Hispanics, and mixed races. That's 50. It was 50.4%. The other 49.6 whites. And so it seems like that that was the same thing that brought down the Roman Empire, was that they brought all these minorities in, whether it was their slaves or whatever, and they multiplied and got greater, and the cultured people, the white people, the Caucasian people that built the land with the, by the grace of God and His Son Jesus Christ, get lower, go lower and lower, and smaller and smaller.
Yep, God don't lie.
No. Jason, you got any comments on that?
Nope. You awake down there?
Just checking.
Oh, yeah. He's been busy. Busy, busy.
Yeah, no doubt. We are wrapping up newsletter 4, and that'll get printing here. We've got just our final little tweaks to make on it, and that'll go out. And we'll put a little teaser out for that, because we had a man send us in an article and some pictures on Detroit back in the 1880s, when white men had built Detroit, when Caucasian people who have culture, and we've forgotten that culture, we've gotten away from it, no doubt, but when they built the town and how beautiful it was and what the architecture looked like, and I think it's maybe Ryan Park, and it's absolutely beautiful. And we contrast that with some modern day pictures of the blight in Detroit. And it's just an example, because every large city in America has that. And basically, you know, why is it that way? And I think it just comes down to sin. It's sin in a nation.
Right.
Allowed sin in a nation. So we hope you take a look at that. See for yourselves.
Drink a coffee. What else you got?
Well, time I finished my cup of coffee. I'm pouring some out of the thermos. Because I brought a thermos this morning. Kyle, you look like you're looking for something over there in your Bible.
Oh, I don't know if I'm looking for anything in particular. I was thinking about something Guy brought up on Solutions this week. He brought up a scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if you listen to Guy very long, you'll realize he has a soldier mentality.
Yeah.
And then verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to battle against what's going on in this world, because if we're supposed to be followers of Christ and followers of those who built on top of his cornerstone, we know what they did. They came against the ways of the world all through the Bible. I mean, you can't get away from them. But don't go along with them. Don't get entangled with them. You know, is what I'm talking about. And the thing of it is there's people will use that as don't do anything. Just get in your house, close your door, and you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil type thing. And it's just, Connor, it doesn't harmonize, you know, with the scripture. And Jason said something earlier this week, you know, about why do people just want us to do nothing, you know, or want to do nothing? And it's like, it's easy, you know, because it's, you know, it's a life changing event to be the salt of the earth,
and that's what,
or a light to the world, and they don't want that life changing event. They want life to go on like it has gone on, and the problem with that is life isn't too good right now. Maybe back in 1776 you could do that, you know, maybe there was enough salt and enough light to where things were, you know, happening, going the right direction in this country. But now you can't do that. You know, it's time to put on the full armor of God. And some of those, like the sword, for instance, is an offensive weapon. It ain't all defense. It ain't all, you know, hunker down, put the shield over your head, and just live on faith. You are supposed to live on faith, but there's other weaponry, so to speak, you know, and we're supposed to use it all. And anyway, I've been thinking about that last couple of days, kind of while working at the print shop and stuff. It's just sad to see all of the salt that's lost its savor. And basically, like the Lord said, it's good for nothing but to be trodden under the feet of men.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and that's right where people are headed. You know, there's a way to get the saltiness back, and that is, you know, to be trampled under the feet of men. That's why the statement's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, that'll do it.
That's what brings the saltiness back in. And, you know, you have stages in spirituality, you have stages in life, and that's, you know, if that's where somebody's at, you know, if they're going to be trampled under the feet of man, and it puts some saltiness on them, then it's a good thing.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, people don't want to be militant. They don't want to be different. They don't want to take a stand. They don't have conviction. You know, you look at these filthy sodomite faggots, they don't mind appearing different. They don't mind standing out. And, you know, I keep thinking, you know, just over the last couple of weeks, what if Christians would have made the stand that the faggots made, you know, this country would be a completely different place.
That's true.
Because they'll have their marches, and they'll protest, and they'll fight their families. They'll go to, you know, they'll be at the political meetings, at the city council meetings, and they push their agenda. They fight for it. They're militant. And they get their way. You know, it's like the old saying, the greasy wheel gets the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know, there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
And Christians haven't been having the outcry saying, stop it. They saying, this is what the Bible says about these filthy queers. We don't want them in our society.
Amen.
Amen to that, yeah.
They play chess. We play checkers.
Well, and that is so true. I mean, and you look at the chess mentality, what they've done to our people. I mean, it's been a war, but it's been on so many different fronts. And even if somebody can see one or two of the fronts or one of the battles that are being fought, it's hard to take a step back and see the general outline of the overall war. And you know, all the things that we've been talking about in this program today were about the war that's going on.
Yes.
You know, we'll talk about a war over here or a battle over here. But what's going on is a general overview. It's a complete war to destroy his people. You know, there's been a war that's been waging ever since the founding of this country.
Yes.
You know, and it's that war of Jacob and Esau. And it's still going on. It's Antichrist versus Christians. It's sons of light versus sons of darkness. And it's continuing, and it's raging on today.
I think one reason that I think ties in with that, along with what Kyle said, that the people don't want to do anything. They want to take that verse in 2 Peter, say, see, we're just supposed to, you know, God's doing this stuff. You can't fight God. You can't change, you know, you're not supposed to come against it. Because when those of us that do, you know, when you do come against it in the name of God, it convicts them of their sin. I think that's one reason it's so important to do that, to put this word out. Like Jason said, to say, this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says these filthy faggots, if they stay in their sin, they're going to die. They're going to burn in hell. And the same thing with the adulterer, and with the thief, and the liar, and what happens.
Effeminate.
The effeminate as well. What do you mean by that, John? and it convicts them of their sin. And that, I think that's one of the reasons they don't like it. You know, they think if they can just live and let live, brother, that It'll just keep going the way it is, and everything will be fine. But we see where generations of that have gotten us. Look in this next newsletter that'll be coming out next week. See where it got Detroit. And look at your own families. How many of us have family members that, you know, have fallen away? It happens. And it's because of the sin in the land. It's because of live and let live. Yeah, you live and let live, and then the whole land turns to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, and the preachers have always just preached to the choir. I mean, if you stand up in front of your congregation and you don't have any homosexuals there and all you preach is on homosexuality, which you should preach on it, but you're preaching to the choir because you're not addressing what they're doing wrong. You're not addressing the effeminate that's going to lead to homosexuality, or you're not addressing the adulterer or the fornicator or the liar or the thief or whatever. The preachers aren't preaching the Word of God, at least not entirely. You know, I mean, now they don't hardly even preach the Word of God, but as it went through the years. And so, and what's the word say? And the people love to have it so, because like you're saying, they don't have that bad conscience. Well, I'm not a homosexual, so that was a great sermon, you know? Or, you know.
Yeah, but they won't take it out either to the street corners or put it out on the airwaves like this.
And now they can't even bring it to the pulpits, because if they're not a homosexual, somebody in their family is. Or somebody in their neighborhood that they like, or somebody they work with, you know, and they don't want to be the salt. They don't want to be the light, you know? So now everything is outlawed. Now it's come one, come all, you know? And, especially though, I mean, they almost mark those that live the most ungodly life to come to their church. And I really don't understand why that is, because I don't even think they're good supporters or tithers, but they're just filth. You know, and they want that filth, just like that brochure. Come to our country. If you're these raghead, hoodie wearing, ungodliest people in the world, you know, come here. I mean, I don't understand it, because they don't benefit you at all. You know, other than destruction.
Well, and that's their desire.
Yeah.
You remember the pastor teaching that, you know,
birds of a feather.
Right. Birds of a feather. They do. Those dirty birds flock together. But there are builders of society, and there are destroyers. And those people are destroyed.
And then it all goes back to what Jason says, that old battle between Esau and Jacob, because they know the Bible better than we do. And if they want to destroy a people, a nation, a home, a church, how do you do that?
Yeah. That's, you know, they it's one of those rules of warfare. They even Esau knows that. He cannot defeat Jacob one-on-one. He can't.
Well, and everybody out there, they want everything to... Not everybody, but a lot of people, a lot of the people that are our people out there, they want everything to fall apart overnight and think that tomorrow everything's going to be better. You know, where our enemies, they can look at generationally and say, okay, what can we do over the next 40 years? How can we destroy this nation? How can we destroy a group of people, a race of people, in the next 40 years, 60 years, 100 years? Mm-hmm. And our people can't think that way. They can think, okay, well, you know, this is it. I want this done by next month, or I want this done by next year.
Yeah.
Or today.
Our
people don't move into positions of government, too. Do you notice that? Because we have God as our king. And these people, what they do is they get into these positions that, even though they're the minority, they're affecting the majority of the people who try to live a godly life, you know?
Yeah.
But that's all changing because of the way things are portrayed.
And then it's a domino. I mean, if there is one that rises up and wants to be in a government position who is an actual Christian, if they're going to stay in that position and that desire...
They whore themselves.
That's the only way they can stay there.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is so prevalent in those positions. They
That's
have
like
control
that.
Of it, and they want to keep control of it.
Representative here in Colorado, I guess, said publicly that, I don't know if Barack Obama was born in the U.S. or not, but I know one thing, in his heart, he's not an American. And on the next day, it was like, oh, well, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. because they started getting, you know, phone calls. You remember the pastor talking about when he was doing the radio show down in Denver with the talk, you know, with the talk show host. And they go to a break, and the talk show host says, okay, Pastor, well, that's been very interesting. I hear you speaking. What's your deal with the Jews?
Yeah.
And the pastor, the pastor, out of love for that man, you know, in a Christian way, said, you really don't want to go there. Because he'd been there. He'd had the experience.
Yeah.
Hey, I am not afraid to go anywhere. I have this radio show, and I
say
what I
want.
That's right. Okay. Okay, so what was it? Two more minutes later, he starts talking about, all of a sudden, we've cut the commercial, you out.
Yeah.
And that tells you who runs things. People don't want to read that in their Bible either, and preachers sure don't preach it from the pulpit, for fear of the Jews.
Yeah.
And we say that because the Jews deny Jesus Christ. And why would you fear... Why would anybody fear someone who denies Jesus Christ? Well, because they're fearful people. The things that they do are wicked. And, you know, people like to have jobs. That radio host didn't come back and say, but wait a minute, he's reading it right out of the Bible. And this is true.
No, he wanted to keep his job.
He wanted to keep his job. Radio host said, see you. Sorry, this interview's over. We're done. And
came back white as a ghost.
And that's how it is. And that's how it is with that representative you're talking about.
Well, and in that instance, it was more than just his job that the pastor believed was threatened. I mean, he thinks that he said when he looked at that man and the terror that was on his face, he said that the thought that went through his head is that they threatened to kill him. They threatened to kill
his
wife. They threatened to kill his children. They threatened to kill every immediate family member that he had.
Yeah.
And that's to the extent that our enemies will go.
Yeah. You're right.
And that can be said in many ways.
Exactly.
Other than how Jason just said it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. And it is a war. You know, those are acts of war. The way that our enemy thinks, like was mentioned, generationally, you know, and they won't just do one thing. They'll introduce things like soy to the food and fluoride to the water, which are poisons and which make people effeminate. And they'll introduce things like mercury in the vaccinations, which causes autism. You know, what little bit of radio I hear, they got these big sports names. I don't know who they are, but I guess they're big sports names. Talking about, you know, 1 in 88 could have autism. You know, what are the odds and this and that? I've said it before. When we had our oldest son, he's 22 now. You never heard that word.
Just that many years ago. Yeah.
Just in eight, and that's one generation, 20 years, or at least in just 20 years, it's gone from almost non-existent to 1 in 88, just expect it. You
That's
know?
Because right. They've advanced their immune shots to where it carries many things.
They can
now.
Cause it. Yep. That's right. That's right.
Well, what does that do, though? It provides the source of income to a bunch of doctors.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a mechanic. You know, you take your car in to get it fixed, and they just happen to put something in there that will make you bring it back maybe in a week or two, or, you know.
Yeah.
And that's every week for life.
Right. Or every, like, yeah.
Well, and I think that it goes back to a lot of it, more than just money, but also the law of thermodynamics. It is when one group of people can inflict injury into another group of people's camp. Okay, let's say you got two tribes fighting or two clans fighting. When one clan can cause sickness and disease in another clan's people, that is an act of warfare. And if they can continue to do that and bring the other clan or other group of people health down, energy down, strength down, it is definitely transferred from one place to another, and that is an act of warfare. And it goes more than just a physical realm, but it's also in a spiritual realm, and that's where a lot of people are missing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
You know, you've heard it before. It's a simple truth, you know, parents, whether you want to believe it or not. The Amish, who do not vaccinate, do not have any autistic children. It's as simple as that. It is an American thing. It is caused by vaccinations. You can take it to the bank or flush it down the toilet. It's up to you. Believe
it. I wonder what the statistics are on Caucasians too, because it sure does seem like I can't remember seeing that many minorities that have autism.
How many Down syndrome black people do you see?
Well, seriously,
do you? That's a question. Downs, because we've got a place here in town, you know, Miami's not that big, 500,000 people. And so, you know, we have one of the, in Laramie, they have a thing called the ARC. It's used to be Association of Retarded Citizens, but now it's, you know, rehabilitative or something. They don't call them retarded. They have disabilities, I think, is the politically correct term to use. They're all white. They're all white. Now, you know, Wyoming's 90% white, but I don't know. I mean, Jason, do you know, does Down syndrome affect black people?
I have no idea.
I mean, I know it's a chromosomal.
It'd be interesting to look into that.
It's a chromosomal thing, but how about autism? You know, I know people. I have a nephew's wife down in Georgia that teaches autistic children. You know, she's got this big PhD, blah, 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 and that's her job. And, she makes pretty good money at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know a person who used to be on the ministry, had an autistic teenage son. I think some of the most fervent prayers we've ever offered up were for the healing of his son.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not like AIDS. I think when, you know, 20 years ago, the pastor put out, oh, we got an AIDS epidemic. Does anybody know anybody that has AIDS? You know, but this is an epidemic. This is happening, and it's genetic warfare on Jacob.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just a warfare of, if you break God's laws, let's say his food laws, it's going to affect who the food laws were designed for way more than it's going to affect the other nations.
Absolutely.
Right, and, right.
I mean, if Jacob, Israel, if they go against God's commandments, if they go against God's laws, there's going to be, I mean, it's just like your own children. You should hold your own children to a higher standard than you hold somebody else's.
Right.
And God's no different. He's going to hold the sons of God higher standard than he is the sons of somebody else. You know, I mean, he
absolutely.
Just is. You know, because he loves them more.
Right.
He wants the best for them more. You know, I remember Pastor bringing it out, I don't know, 8-10 years ago in a house full of people in Washington. And some there was opposed to what he said, and he just finally got fed up a little bit and said, "You can take it or you can leave it." But I'm telling you, if Caucasian people, Israel people, deny the laws of God, it's going to affect them way more than it's going to affect the other races, you know. And I didn't really understand why the other people weren't. They just didn't want to get it, you know. They didn't want. They had this mentality. I mean, there was a Catholic there. There was people there that shouldn't have been there. But anyway, the setting just called for it. But anyway, they just didn't want to believe it. But the fact of the matter is, that's why, you know, pork affects us way more than it affects the other races.
Well, all those laws do.
Yeah.
Because
all the laws, yeah.
Who was the law given to?
Absolutely.
You know, if I go down here to the National Guard Armory, I know a young man that's in the National Guard, and his name is Matt. And if me and Matt are standing there, and a colonel walks in, you know, and I reach up and slap the colonel, and Matt, who is like a corporal, slaps the colonel, you know, there's going to be different retaliations to the two of us, because he's under a certain law, he's under military law. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can kill him for striking a superior officer. With me, they're just going to throw me out the door. Okay?
Right.
Because he's under a different law. He's under a different commander. And so those laws apply to him. Well, God gave his law to Jacob Israel. His laws apply to us. The black people, they can eat chitlins.
Yeah.
And shrimp. Bubba shrimp. Barbecued and every other kind. And that kind of stuff. And it affects them different.
I have a scripture here that came to my mind in Romans 2. starting in verse 12, says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." And that just, to me, that just spells it out. You know, even though you might not even be baptized, you might not have God's laws written on your hearts and minds like those who have entered the new covenant. But even because of our seed line, and because of our race, we as Gentiles, even though some of us are not believers yet, we still have that law of God on our hearts to some point. And so we're going to be judged by the law. Now, those who don't have it on their hearts and their minds, and they're going to be judged, but they're not going to be judged by the law because the law wasn't given to them.
Right. You know?
Anyway,
I agree 100%.
And that judgment a lot of times ain't just on that final day. It's sickness.
It can be a lifetime of poverty.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. You're right. It is. It's not just that final judgment. But we are.
Well, I tried something a little different this week. I sent out scripture to a bunch of people that are on my email list, and one of the scriptures I decided to send out was Romans 1:18-32. And interesting the responses you get. Some people are like, "Yeah, that's pretty cut and dry, pretty obvious what God's position is against homosexuals," you know. And some of these are people who go to churches that are trying to push, you know, that stuff down their throat too, like the Presbyterians and some of the Lutherans. But I don't know. I just encourage you to share the truth with everyone you can, and no matter what the consequences. I made up my mind. I guess I'm becoming a little bit more bold and brazen too, but in a good way.
Well, it's like Jason said, if you're going to be trampled under the foot of man, you know, it's going to make you salty. And it should.
Yeah.
I mean, if it don't, then...
And we have all been trampled.
Yeah.
We have all been trampled as a people, as individuals, we have.
Yeah.
Know that they are... We sent a prayer request out,
Stand
I think,
for
yesterday.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right. They're certainly ramping up their war. We had a person call in and say, "Hey, did you hear the death threats the queers made against such and such a... person, you know, a right-wing Christian type journalist," and then we got some emails that some more right-wing Christian type organizations' websites had been hacked into, and you know, specifically by these filthy fags. And we've certainly got emails from these of a depraved mind. And again, read the next newsletter. You might see some of that stuff in there.
Well, Jesus said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you.
Absolutely.
Because
right.
It hated me first.
And that's what it's going
to
do.
So if it doesn't hate us, we got issues.
We got problems. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
So it's coming down. So understand that, people. Have, you know, pray. Make sure you put on that full armor of God daily on yourself, your wife. We're talking to husbands here. Your children. Every day. Make sure you do that. You know, pray the Lord's Prayer daily.
Right.
You know,
you guys will get a kick out of this. I brought this up, I think, last week or before, but the ACLU has come against a school in Virginia, in Giles County High School. Anyways, a federal court judge ordered mediation Monday and the parties involved in a lawsuit about whether the Ten Commandments can be displayed at a Giles County high school. U.S. District Court Judge Michael F. Urbanski with the U.S. District Court of Renoke ordered the Giles County School Board and an unnamed student and parent into mediation to see if a compromise can be reached. Now, here's the part that is really concerning. The judge recommended that they compromise and remove the first four commandments because the last six are more secular. you believe that? Now, this is a guy who swore an oath on a Bible, and now he's trying to remove.
Yeah, the last six commandments will go for all religions, so they can have those, you know. But
right.
But the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no, we can't have that. We can't have there's no other gods but God, you know.
Talk about hypocrisy, though, you know. This is a judge that swore to uphold the law with his hand on a Bible.
Well, if he's a Jew, he does his little, what they call it, kol nidre, where they just say, Lord, I'm going to lie all year to their Lord. I'm going to lie all year, but don't hold it against me.
Right. I just think it's amazing the hypocrisy and how it, there's nothing new under the sun, and it just, things that you can't imagine are happening. Gives us something to talk about on Saturday morning.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lack of that anymore. It just seems like there's so much going on all over the place.
Yep.
Hard to believe we're getting so close to Branson, too.
Oh, I know. It's hard to believe we're coming up almost on a year of Dad passing.
I know.
Time is definitely accelerated, just like it says in Matthew 24:21-22.
Yep, it sure is.
Oh, Richard, did you see our little friend Jezebel, female dog, is joined the fight in Rhode Island against that World War II cross monument at the fire station? Jessica Elquist.
I did see that they were coming against the. Coming against that. She's making quite a little name for herself, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's doing the work of her father, for sure.
Yep.
Who are you talking about?
Jessica Elquist. She's the one that insisted that prayer be taken down in
the Rhode Island school. And the ACLU jumped in, and they instigated the lawsuit and set it all up, and then, you know, kind of went to her and asked her if she would be part of it and all that kind of stuff, because she first started it. But yeah, and now the Queers or somebody gave her like a $10,000 scholarship to college or something like that. So
yeah,
the birds of a feather. Hey, it's the time of the tares and the wheat, you know. Jesus said, when you see the blossoms come out on the trees, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. You can tell when the clouds come or the sun. You know, you can tell the seasons, but you don't know what time it is. Well, guess what? The time fast approaches of the harvest, and that's when the tares who are standing up proud and tall and haughty, saying, oh, include me. I'm one. I agree with that. Yes. It's that time.
Yeah, and it's also time for our people to just start standing up and say no, period. Yes. Just flat out no. They don't know what to do, just like Dad taught. You know, when you just say no, you don't try to fight them in court or anything. You just tell them no, period.
No. And that sends them into a rage. It absolutely does. Let me finish out with a scripture verse here. We talked about it earlier, 2 Peter 3:7-11. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
Yep.
The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And that's how we are to be. We are to be found in holy conduct, in godliness, perfect, spotless. And there's only one way to be that way.
And for those that are his, He's not to come like a thief in the night. We're supposed to be looking for him.
Yes.
You know, and there's another scripture, I forget where it's exactly at now, that tells us that for him not to come like a thief for us. But as the world's concerned, that's exactly how he's going to come.
Absolutely. That's how he came in Egypt. They weren't expecting him. His people were. His people were expecting him, and they were prepared for him to come.
Right.
So be strong in the Lord, because the strong man who watches his house, his possessions are not
Amen.
Taken. But
Amen. Be strong. Found. Yep. Be found with those wedding clothes on, clothed in Christ, that beautiful white robe that's been dipped in his blood. That is the way to be found. Well, guys, we're wrapping it up. About 2 more minutes. So if you got some closing thoughts, we'll ask you to join us for church tomorrow morning. 10 a.m. Mountain, that's scriptures4america.org. And that gives everybody else a couple minutes to kind of give their closing thoughts.
Pray for Branson. Coming up, those would love to see it fail. Just pray that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct and keep those that shouldn't be there out of there.
Got anything, Jason?
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, I kind of said all I'm going to say. Other than I, you know, with John, I imagine we'll have some special prayers for Branson coming up here.
Yeah.
Because, like we don't want those who are going to cause a problem, cause discord, cause division, cause schisms in the body. We don't want them there.
Right.
And but if they do come, which they've came in the past when we've asked them not to, and when the pastor prayed against them, you know, because that's what they do, you know. But we'll have special prayer over communion. We'll have special prayer, you know, over the whole thing, you know. And I'm just going to warn that you're taking your life in your hands, you know. If you come to the Lord's Supper or a Lord's place with intentions like that.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we got some people coming from Nebraska and Missouri and Florida in the next couple of weeks to visit the church before Branson. I just pray that the Lord would grant them safety, put angels above and below them to the left and right, and keep all evil away from them. In Christ Jesus' name.
Amen. See you at church tomorrow, guys.
All right.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, they hide.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.